Did you know that not all zirconia is the same? Zircad Prime Zirconia from Ivoclar is uniquely produced with GT technology, which allows two powders that normally center at different intervals to be combined into one material which centers uniformly. The manufacturing process not only optimizes the translucent properties, but also creates a seamless progression of shade while maintaining optimal strength. Zircad Prime and Prime Aesthetic is now more affordable than ever and will give you the results that your dentist will notice. Contact us today to learn more about Zircad Prime and how Ivoclar can support your success. Tell them you heard it on the podcast and get a free Prime or Prime Aesthetic disc to try. Just use promo code 723. For all this information, visit the Ivoclar tab on the Voices from the Bench website. This is Laura Gilbert, Director of Technical Marketing at Ivoclar, wishing you a successful 2024.
Welcome to Voices from the Bench, a dental laboratory podcast. Send us an email at info@voicesfromthebench.com and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Greetings and welcome to episode 310 of Voices from the Bench. My name is Elvis.
And my name is Barbara, and you had the flu this week, eh?
I don't know if I had the flu, but I definitely came back with a bug from Chicago. I'll tell you that.
I heard a fair amount of people did on Facebook.
Yeah. Considering a record amount of attendees, I mean, I think they said 5,000 plus all those, vendors and everybody else that wasn't an attendee. That show was packed.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. All the energy, just like every year. Everybody's just so amazing in our industry. Happy, talking, you know, peer-to-peer, cow lab, lab day. It was just, I'm still pumped, you can tell. Still pumped.
Absolutely. And even if I knew I was going to get sick, no regrets, I'd still go. Totally worth it. What a great weekend. Congratulations to LMT.
Thank you, Judy.
Another huge, huge meeting. And of course, a big thanks to Ivoclar.
Thank you, Ivoclar. That was banging.
Yep.
Elvis and I had 25 interviews at least? 20?
Around there. Still working through them. But yes, we had a ton. It was nonstop since the minute we walked into their ballroom.
Lines of people. Yeah. It's pretty flattering.
They gave us a wonderful spot. Pretty much the same as the year before, but you can't beat it. I mean, pretty much anyone that walks into lab day, as long as you look in that room, you see us. So.
Yep. And you saw us blabbing the whole time because we didn't stop. Literally did not stop.
Yeah, honestly, when I got back, I thought I just lost my voice from talking so much, but it turned into a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry about that.
Probably one of the most thrilling things about when we do the podcast live, I mean, not only getting the interviews and talking to people that we really wouldn't have a chance to interview unless we were live, was just people coming up to us and tell us that they listen to the podcast and they appreciate it.
Yep.
I had a gentleman come up to me and in very broken English told me he's from Japan. He listens to the podcast. And believe it or not, he's actually using our podcast to learn English.
Our podcast? Well, then he's getting bleeped. He's learning the F word.
He's learning bleeps, and he's learning how not to say people's last names.
Yeah, fantastic. A little bit of you and a little bit of me. Well, thank you out there for learning English from our podcast.
Yeah, sorry about you. I suggest 90s sitcoms would probably do a better job.
I think for me, it was most gratifying and super emotional just meeting all of the young technicians, giving you guys a shout out that just came up to me and thanked me because, you know, I wasn't with you at all times, but for, you know, the podcast and how much they've learned and how much information they can access and how much it's really changed and helped them. And I'm almost teared up right now, but God, that was awesome. You know, I needed that. Like it just pumped me up even more to know what kind of difference we're making. I mean, you and I love it, but you know, we don't have people coming up to us every day saying, you know, thank you. So
no,
it was the best part for me.
I mean, just like being a technician, it's kind of a thankless job, you know? You get people listen, people download. Yeah, you don't get a lot of feedback, but it's so nice to get it when we do.
Yeah, so thank you, everybody.
Absolutely. And those that did stop by and sat down with us, thank you. They were amazing conversations.
Yeah, best ever.
Stay tuned. We're going to have a ton of episodes featuring all the conversations we got.
Big shout out to Joe Young for getting all the signatures on that amazing sweatshirt.
Yeah, that was kind of a cool idea.
Cool.
Yeah, so our friend Joe took the dental technician's sweatshirt that we made and took it around and got a ton of signatures on it of just everybody in the industry. And what a great idea.
And Carolyn Kapp made a super awesome jacket. Did you see that?
I saw a picture of it. I didn't see it live.
It was sweet. I just saw a picture of it and I heard about it. But damn, that's the best logo yet. We're going to start selling that again. I think you said maybe a month or so.
Yeah.
So everybody that wanted it, that listens to us, you got to check it out.
Yeah.
Because I have so many people wanting that jacket. So
I still get emails asking if we're selling it. So
exactly.
And then we have to mention, because it's so extremely rare, we all showed up in Chicago and it was above 50 degrees.
Yeah, dude. I went for a run. In short.
I was too lazy. I didn't. I should have. But
it was crazy.
We haven't seen that in what?
Ever. I haven't seen it ever. I mean, in July, yeah, when we go up for the Race for the Future.
Yeah, sure. We would kill for 50 degrees then.
Yeah, but that was spectacular. And then it got to snow on the last day, so I got to play in the snow, which us Florida people, we like snow.
Well, that's the Midwest for you. If you blink, the weather changes. So
yeah, that was pretty sweet. And then when we left again, it was up to 70 that Wednesday. So yeah, pretty cool.
So I love it. We can't say thanks enough to everybody. All the attendees, LMT, Ivoclar, just thanks.
Yep.
Already looking forward to next year.
Yep.
It's going to be even bigger.
So what do we got going on this week?
Well, this week we talked to a very, very talented technician from Poland.
Poland. I'm from Poland.
That just happens to live in my home state of Indiana. Alexander Polinski.
Nice job on the name, Elvis.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
She's an artist. Like a real artist, like a painter. And without even knowing what a dental technician was, she met and married a master dental technician. The lab that he worked at offered her a job after seeing a couple of her drawings. And from there, a passion and a career was born. She nailed her first few wax-ups, and it wasn't long before she was a ceramist. After partnering up with a few companies like GC America and Strawman, Alexandra was soon teaching others the art of full arch, composite, and staining.
Nice job, lady.
Wanting to do more, she partnered up with a dentist and opened Visual Dental Arts, where she gets to work one-on-one with patients to give them the results that they want. Alexandra talks about her life in office, teaching, the craziness of teaching during Lab Day Chicago, and how she embraced technology to enhance her analog and artistic side. So join us as we chat with Alexandra Polinski. Whether you're looking to elevate your craftsmanship or looking to cut back on cost, look no further.
Vita MFT teeth are the ultimate solution for creating lifelike and stunning smiles.
Crafted with precision and backed by cutting-edge technology, Vita MFT teeth offer unparalleled aesthetics and durability.
And since Vita believes in the power of experiencing excellence firsthand, for a limited time only, they are offering you the chance to get a complimentary case sample.
That's right, a full case, absolutely free. Just visit VitaNorthAmerica.com/free. MFT.
Don't wait any longer to start providing your customers a premium tooth at an economy price. Redeem your free case sample, and if you're ready to buy, Vita will even give you an extra 10% off discount by shopping online on their newly launched online store.
Join the Vita family today, and we appreciate your support of the podcast. Thank you.
Hey, listeners.
Voices from the Bench here. Let's talk about ExoCAD.
We want to tell you guys about an amazing digital dentistry event coming up, and it's called ExoCAD Insights 2024.
It's 2 days, May 9th and May 10th.
On the beautiful Spanish island of Mallorca, with our friends from ExoCAD.
This is a fantastic educational event for all of you in the dental lab industry. And of course, your clinical colleagues.
There will be keynote presentations for master dental technicians, digital experts, implant surgeons, lab owners, and more.
Plus, ExoCAD software experts will run hands-on sessions so you can get to know the latest releases, including DentalCAD 3.2 Alefsina, which was released just recently. Visit the large CAD/CAM exhibition to network and see the latest innovations. And of course, there will be a really fun opening night with a pearly white themed celebration.
Ooh, that sounds like fun. So please head over to the event website, exocad.com/insights2024, or the link on this episode's show notes.
Get your tickets before they're gone. Remember, that's exocad.com/insights2024.
And don't forget, Elvis and I will be recording in person from Insights 2024. We're going to be talking to all of the amazing speakers, ExoCAD leadership, and attendees.
And as a loyal listener of the podcast, you can use promo code VFTB15 to save 15% off registration to what will be one of the greatest events of the year.
Greatest events of the year.
All right, ready? 3, 2, 1. See you there.
See you there. Nice.
Voices from the Bench. The interview.
I say that my name is Ola. They kind of think that I'm from Russia, and my name is Olga. So.
All right. Well, we're happy to announce Olga. Just kidding.
Be fun here,
right? So Barb and I are super excited today because we get to talk to someone who actually I briefly, very briefly, met at the DTG symposium.
Yes.
What was that, last October?
Yep.
And I believe this technician went out to Barb's lab to teach a course not too long ago.
Yes.
Everything's lining up perfectly.
Right.
We're happy to have on. All right, here we go. Alexandra
Polinsky.
Alexandra Polinsky.
Alexandra Polinsky, how are you today?
I'm very good, very good. Very happy to be here. Thank you for the invitation. So let's roll.
I love it. First of all, I want to start off. I don't get to talk to a lot of other technicians living in the state of Indiana.
Oh, I didn't know you live there. That's
yes,
great.
Yes, I live in Indiana, yes.
It's crazy to me because you're way up north, like Lake Michigan, which... to people in Indianapolis, that's a different state to us because it's a whole other environment up there. How long have you lived up in northern Indiana?
I would still consider it Chicagoland area. Mm-hmm. So first time when I moved to US, I moved to Chicago. And I live like in Indiana, which is an hour away from Chicago. So very close. And I have a house by the Lake Michigan, not lakefront, but walking distance. So that's very nice.
That's awesome.
And we moved to Indiana because I met the doctor that we work really closely with. His name is Dr. Michael Drone. So we met and it was a great opportunity. So we decided to move out here, right? And we found a house by the lake. So why not, right?
That's awesome. It's beautiful up there.
It's very beautiful. I mean, the winter times, not so much.
Well, oh, yeah, okay. I'll give you that. But when it's nice, it's nice. It's a nice Indiana.
Yes, it's very beautiful.
So take us back farther. You said you moved to the United States. So did you learn your craft in Poland? How did you become a dental technician?
In Poland, before moving to US, I attended art school. So my dream was to be an artist.
Wow.
So I attended an art school and art always was my biggest passion. I kind of tried to do some paintings still till this day, But because of I'm a dental technician and I'm really occupied right now with all kinds of opportunities, it's really hard for me to still paint. Mm-hmm. But that's what I wanted to be. I don't know what I did in my life, but I became a dental technician. So yeah.
Well, who introduced you to it? I mean, at some point you had to go from pencils and paint.
I met my husband at that time, and he was already a master dental technician specializing in ceramics.
Boom.
Yes. Yep. So he's excellent with all the ceramics and aesthetic applications of glazed. So he introduced me to that. Yes.
Nice.
What did you think about the industry when you met this guy that made teeth? I mean, did you know about it?
No, I didn't know anything. I was basically just into my art. And I was like, to me, to be a dental technician, you have to have some artistic skills. At least it helps you a lot with mm-hmm. fabricating really nice aesthetic work. I feel like I already was hooked with everything. Like, dental industry was really fascinating for me. So it's still like painting and sculpting. So
yeah, for sure.
I was able to move all of my artistic skills into dental profession.
So did you start layering and contouring? Is that where you began?
So actually it's kind of because at the time my husband was working in like a production laboratory in Chicagoland area. And when I came to US, his boss was like, okay, so bring your wife and let her bring her paintings. So he will evaluate my artwork and based off of that, he will hire me, right?
Wow.
So that's what I did. I bring my artwork and he was like, okay, she's pretty talented. So why not having like a working interview? So I came into the lab. At that time, everything was still analog, right? So he mm-hmm. gave me a molar to wax by hand. And, you know, I did that. I mean, to me, because I've had sculpting and artistic skills already after school, I started to applying the wax and I did pretty good molar, right? So he approached me and he was like, okay, this is nice. So he took that away and he gave me an interior crown.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
And I did that also pretty good. So he was like, oh my God, she's going to stay. So I think within a year, I was already a ceramist. So
wow.
Was that your first time waxing or did you
yes,
at least?
Yes, actually it was first time waxing. Yeah.
The first time you waxed a crown got you hired. That's nuts.
And molar and then interior.
That's so crazy. So what did he do? Just give you like an anterior to look at and then you were able to mimic what you saw?
To me, when I look at the model, it's basically you copy whatever it's next, right? So yeah. They told me to copy the molar that it's next to it. And then interior, you just copy the tooth that is next to it. So that's what I did.
Damn.
I mean, I tried as close as possible, but he approached me and he was like, oh my God, this is pretty good. Okay. But it wasn't, you know, still, it wasn't that beautiful, right? You still, at like a production laboratory, you have to earn your way, right? So I started from opaquing and doing the models in the model department. So, I mean, I started from the basics and I kind of upgraded to finally doing the ceramics, right? So there was one day that I came into the lab and, you know, my boss, he kind of dragged me to ceramic room and he was like, okay, here's 5 cases and you have to finish for tomorrow. So there was no choice.
So they just put you in front of 5 cases to have to do all the coloring? And that was your first time doing it too?
Yes, sir.
What stain system were you using?
We were, like, the laboratory was always always big with GC products.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we were using GC stains and GC porcelain to layer.
Did you actually get to watch anybody do it? Or
Yeah, I was always watching Jack and then the way they introduced me slowly was kind of like they were giving me cases to do. At that time, there was like butt margins, right?
Oh, yeah.
Or like some kind of 360 butt margins to layer with porcelain. So I would start here and there, and I was always watching and observing ceramists and how to stain, right? But mm-hmm. I think it kind of comes naturally sometimes, right?
Yeah.
I feel like it's also the best way. Like, you just have to start doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but on live cases for patients, is that really the best way to do your first one?
I mean, why not? If you're talented, if you're good. There is always ceramics that they're going to help you, right? You always can have questions. And at that time, it was monolithic crowns, right? So everything was prepared to glaze. So then you're just glazing. You have a sheet tape and stains. And
wow.
All right, so you sat down, he gave you 5 crowns, you finished those, and then you just sort of kind of built from there. So by that time, like the next day, were you a ceramist in that lab? So every day that's
I think so, yes, yes, yes. A few cases a day, and then I started to be a ceramist on an everyday basis.
Mm-hmm. Sweet.
And kind of upgrading to do more and more complicated cases.
Yeah. So. What was your favorite tooth? I'm assuming it was a single central, right?
So I think single centrals are the most difficult
yes,
and challenging.
For sure.
They require specialty.
Yeah, for sure.
In order to fabricate them. But yeah, I feel like every tooth is kind of fascinating, the anatomy and the function of each tooth.
If you have to look back and think back at that time, what was... Mm-hmm. What was the favorite part of it? Was it the layering? Was it the texturing? Was it the glazing? Or did you pretty much like everything?
You know what? I think when I look back, I think I appreciate every single thing, right? Because you know
yeah,
what? I feel like I started in analog in production laboratory and I get to experience everything and learn every single thing from creating the models in model department to pouring the models from stone.
Mm-hmm.
Then opaquing, then pressing, then glazing and staining monolithics.
Mm-hmm.
And all that analog knowledge, when all the digital came in, I moved that into digital. So I'm still a technician that's got experience into analog, but it's really good and fascinated by digital. But combining all those two together with my artistic skills, I think that's what kind of makes it maybe more unique or and it kind of it shows the way I work and the way I am.
Well, yeah, it's the trifecta of all three skills.
Yes. So I feel really lucky that what I learned and I basically right now in the laboratory, even if I do something digital, I don't have a problem to go back and analog, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I appreciate every single thing that I started from models, like I said, from every single step that I did and grew in a production analog laboratory.
Yeah. So when digital got introduced, did you adapt to it well? Were you open to it? How did that happen?
Oh, yeah. I was like, man, just give it to me. I mean, I feel like still to this day... I feel like still this day, a lot of technicians are kind of like in between digital. They maybe there's a little bit of the fear, but
mm-hmm.
I was the dental technician when I saw everything digital, the softwares and what's happening. Even right now, we have all kinds of digital workflows with face driven and all those components, all those scanners. I feel like it's really fascinating. And when I was introduced to that, I was like, this is the coolest thing ever, right?
Yeah.
And I have to give credit also to my doctor, Dr. Michael Drone, that I work really closely. I always say this joke that he's the doctor that buys equipment like I buy shoes and purses, right? So,
oh, yeah.
So when I join his practice, he is really driven digitally with all the time looking for new technologies and new workflows. So I kind of got into his office from production laboratory and he was the doctor that was like, hey, I have an intraoral scanner. Are you able? Do you want to do this? And I was like, hell yes, I want to do this.
Yes.
So that's how it changes. I feel like my career and what I do in dental, it kind of shifted when I joined his practice, right? So what I would like to say, I have a laboratory, small boutique laboratory that's called Visual Dental Arts. And it's not really typical dental laboratory. It's the laboratory that it's integrated into doctor's practice.
Okay.
So what I do, I specialize to work in a clinician chair side with him. So that experience, me coming from production laboratory and joining his practice and being able to see the patients on a daily basis, that's pretty awesome. So I just took advantage of that and I just, you know, jump into digital, seeing the patients, working very close with clinicians too.
So take us through a day like that. Like that is just so cool to me to be able to visualize you working with the doctor, working with the patients, being able to design the case and see the emotion with the patient. Do you
yes,
basically spend half your day doing that and then the other half, you know, designing and fabricating things? Like
you know,
about your day.
I wish I could plan my day like this, but working with the clinicians and patients, so it's even more crazy than working in a laboratory, I would say, because my day kind of looks like this. The way I work with my doctor is I'm all the time in the office, so whenever he needs me, sometimes there is a situation that he cannot predict and I cannot predict that he needs me, right? So he just comes downstairs and he's like, Alex, come here to room maybe 3 or 2 or 1 and I need your help, right? So I would just kind of drop whatever I'm doing and go see what he needs from me, what kind of help he needs, right? So I'm a dental technician that not only sits by the desk and finishing restoration. I go and see the patients. I do consultations with them. I present them 3D designs. What we really focus here in the practice is to push for the patients to be involved in the treatment.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So it's not like they just come here to the office and pay for the treatment. No, they are involved into also fabricating of their teeth, right? So I have a consultation and I ask them, what do they want, actually? At least I give them that opportunity to be asked.
Well, how many patients really don't know what they want? I mean, that's got to be quite challenging.
And that's really okay, because that's, I feel like that's normal thing. Regular people, they don't really know anything about dental and how everything is fabricated. So even if they don't know and I present them how it's done, they're getting fascinated by that too.
Sure.
Yeah.
So at least they're starting to understand what they don't know, and they're starting to understand.
Yeah, why aren't all my teeth in an even line? What's going on?
Yes.
So when did you hook up with this doctor? Did he approach you? Did you approach him?
It was basically Dr. Jones' dream was always to have a team of technicians in his office. So he built a laboratory over here. And he was looking for technicians, right? So I think he made a post on a Facebook, on social media, and also through mutual friends, we kind of found out that this doctor is looking for technicians. So we met and we kind of discussed everything, and that's how it happened.
So did you get to build out the lab, or was it already stocked and ready to go?
He already built it, yes.
Yeah.
It was, he didn't know, but he built it for me.
So like this doctor, he's totally into technology, because it sounds like he's well above the curve
doctors. Yes, he is very much passionate about all the dental industry and new technology, new equipment. I mean, yeah, in laboratory and in his office, he's got state-of-the-art equipment, intraoral scanners, you name it, milling machines, printers, we have everything.
Yeah, so take us through that. So for the printing part of it, are you guys printing night guards, temporaries?
Yes, we print. I don't know if we're printing night guards. We are capable of basically print everything from permanent restorations to models, gingiva for implants, like every single thing that a normal laboratory would print those days.
Wow, nice.
If you want a piece of equipment, can you just ask for it and it's pretty much he'll get it for you?
I don't really have to. There is the days that I'm just coming to the office and there is new equipment coming, so.
Merry Christmas!
Yes.
Is he going to go to Lab Day Chicago?
I don't think he is going.
So he's not going to Lab Day Chicago, but you are. Is there anything in particular that you're interested in this year?
Like interested to see something? That's what
your question is?
Yes,
yes.
I feel like this year I'm going to be so, so busy during the lab days. I just hope that I'm going to survive and do my best doing my lectures, workshops, hands-on demos. So I just want to do the best.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So my only wish is to do my lectures are good, so everyone who's going to attend is going to be happy.
Yeah, for sure. When I first met you was at DTG Symposium, and you were teaching a course or doing a hands-on, I wasn't sure, but you do this a lot. How did you get into teaching?
So, you know, to be honest with you, I have to kind of again go back and go back to the time when I came to U.S. And when I came to U.S., my first friends that I got introduced to was Dan Boskosevic from GC America. So
yeah.
I would like to say that he is one of the person in dental industry that supports me a lot. I'm very lucky to
He's
call
a good
him
dude.
To call him my best friend. And to be honest with you, I owe him a lot. And he was always, through all those years, pushing me like a little bit very gently. And he was, Alex, you should maybe start putting yourself out there, your work, you're amazing. If you want to, you'll be really good in that, right? So finally, there was one day that we finally agreed to do a course with my doctor, Dr. Joan, for GC America. I think it was 2 years ago, first course. Or 3 years ago, something like 3 years ago, I think. And that's how it started. So we did our first course for GC America and it just went like that.
What was that first course?
Yeah, what'd you talk about?
So we did like a team approach with my doctor, Dr. John, and then our oral surgeon that we work really closely with. His name is Dr. Tim Serber. So we did like a team approach type of digital workflow. Lecture.
And then you just kept teaching and teaching and teaching. What else, what other topics do you cover?
So I cover like digital workflows, plus kind of aesthetic approach for 3D printed structures, immediate loads. I feel like there is a big demand for those type of lectures and workshops. So right now also I'm doing some kind of courses with Stroman too. That's what we see, that it's been really popular. So
you're talking about immediate load on top of Straumann implants with what? Full arch zirconia?
3D printed restoration on GC temp print.
So temporary immediate loads.
Yes, temporary immediate loads, yes.
Awesome. Are you a part of the surgery? Do you get to planning out the implants, helping pick up chair side? Are you part of that process too?
Yes, of course I am. And the reason why I am involved in the surgeries, because basically I work with the clinicians, right? So my doctor is very forward with everything, like we already discussed, with all the digital workflows and digital equipment. So to work with him, I get the opportunity to assist during the surgeries too, right?
Barb loves surgery.
That's heavy for me. Oh, yeah. How do you get used to that? Like, seriously.
I mean, to be honest with you, Barb, I feel like if I would do it everything all over again, I would love to become a surgeon.
Wow.
But yes, I didn't know that I'm going to love it so much.
Wow.
So
that's very impressive.
So how do you do the surgeries? If he's so digital, is there photogrammetry involved?
We do have photogrammetry, but we more using the intraoral scanner, and that's how we detect the implant position.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do all digital workflows that are facially driven over here, and we basically go model-less. So we get the opportunity to clone the patient. We scan the faces with the facial scanner. We scan everything with the intraoral scanner, and I pre-design everything before the surgery. I present to the patient, and that's how we do it.
Wow.
So you actually do the facial scans. Everyone talks about how easy that is, but it doesn't seem like it would be that easy. I've never done it.
I mean, trust me, I feel like I'm going to say it really openly. I feel like using the facial scanning technology, it just changed the way I work. I feel like this is a missing link. So when you have the opportunity to scan the patient and have the patient's face into your digital software, you don't really need to see the patient and you see exactly their smile. Mm. So you get the opportunity to create a beautiful smile when your midline is not off, when your plane of occlusion is just dead on. It's everything combined, working with the doctor, being able to see the patient, being able to be present during the surgery, and getting the opportunity to scan the patient, to clone the patient.
Yeah. What do? You have them high smile? Or do you also do a picture of them at rest?
Yes. So what we do, it's basically the workflow that we use is, and the facial scanner, it's Insurisa facial scanner. So it's COIS driven from Dr. John COIS.
Sure.
So what we do, we take the sequences of the faces, high smile, Duchenne smile, natural smile, and repose. So I get those three and it gives me opportunity to align them together. When I align them, I kind of see how dynamic the lip is and where I'm supposed to place my designs.
Wow. So you can toggle between each level of the lip.
Yes.
I imagine you're doing all this in exocad.
So we have exocad based software, so you can, I feel like the best software is to utilize all those digital workflows are exocad, and then zirconzan system, which is modelier.
Sure. Who taught you exocad? How did you learn that program?
I attended the courses, InstaRiza courses, and then Fernando Polanco from InstaRiza. A few courses with him, so he was the one who trained me on exocad.
Elvis and I have talked to both sides of the camp on the exocad and the three shapes and the different software. But I've seen lately, I mean, during your course, you were using the exocad, and that's a pretty cool software.
It is very cool software, yes. It gives you a lot of freedom and ability to import and export scans. So in order to proceed with all those complicated digital workflow cases, you have to have some sort of exocad-based software. And I feel like those two are the best, exocad and zirconzan. So.
Yeah, for sure. So when you're doing the digital part of the cases, the doctor hovering over you, checking out everything?
Yes. So usually what we do, I feel like right now this understanding that he's just going to review the design with me and we all know what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. So, but when we have a complicated cases, and especially at the beginning, when we started doing those complicated cases, we would meet and review all the patients, right?
Yeah.
So when I have my design in my CAD software, I can bring all kinds of scans. I can even merge CBCT scan.
Wow.
So how powerful that is for us as a team, me as a lab technician, doctor, and oral surgeon to meet and then review everything.
Oh, yeah.
So we have the design, we have the face, we have the intraoral scans, we can have CBCT scan, we can measure everything. So basically sometimes when me as a dental technician, I'm playing the role as a surgical guide because I can present them my design and that's what we go from.
So before any surgery, you have the design done and everything is based off of that.
Go to the surgery and our design is ready and the case is pre-designed. Yes, that's correct.
That's awesome.
When you're doing those workflows and you're working with those doctors, do you ever have a glitch? And if so, like something that doesn't go as well as you think it is. And if that happens, what is it usually from? Or maybe it doesn't ever happen.
There is always something might happen, right? I mean, we're going to a surgery when we're restoring double arches. We're removing the teeth on the upper jaw and the lower jaw. And sometimes patient is edentulous or partially edentulous with mobile teeth. So we can have all kinds of discrepancies, right?
Yeah,
but I feel like that's the beauty of digital workflows, right? If something goes wrong, you can just take the trio scans and just readapt it to your design because you already have your design. It doesn't happen very often, but if it does happen, then you can just fix it for the next day or even the same day because you have everything saved in your software.
That's got to make it just so convenient for the patient also.
Yes, also this approach to the patient and the matter of explaining to the patient.
So when they go eventually to the final, how much of your immediate design do you have to change? Or are you pretty spot on usually?
What I do and what I really try to do is when I pre-design the case, right?
Uh-huh.
And we go to a surgery, this is my base for the rest of the treatment, right? So I always go back and realign on that first design that I did. Mm-hmm. So what I do when I mill or print my restoration, I don't do any cutbacks. I don't really do any adjustments. I stay true to my design because I want to use it for my final as well.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So I do monolithic teeth. I don't do any cutback. I don't really do any more adjustments when I fabricate them. So I mean, if I mill them or print them, right? So I stay true to my design and that's what's my base for, we call it stage two, another pair of temporaries or finalizing with zirconia.
But on the temporaries, are you adding any pink gingiva to it?
I usually, like I said, I don't want to do any cutbacks, so I would use optic glaze. So I would use only stains.
Okay.
I knew the answer to that question. I've seen her use the optic glaze and she's quite awesome at it. That's what, when you came to our lab, part of the course, and It's pretty phenomenal. That's a really, really nice material.
It's really nice material. And thank you, Barb, for inviting me to your laboratory. And we were able to put up a very nice course with a few participants. And I was able to show my technique as well. So that was very nice. Thank you.
Yeah, how did that happen? How did you guys hook up for a course?
It was the Florida Dental Lab Association Board of Directors wanted to and wants to continue putting on courses in Florida. And, you know, we're really trying to find the best of the best to come in and train our technicians. And we were fortunate enough to have Alexander come. So, yeah, it was really, really cool. It was on a Saturday. It was all day. She had some badass Christian Dior shoes on and a really great purse. And, you know, this girl was looking them up as, you know, watching her walk back and forth. But, you know, the star of the show was the training. She was really excellent. Really fun to watch and learn from. Do you remember the shoes I'm speaking of?
Yes, of course.
That's a girl thing. Yeah. We had a couple girl moments in, you know, the training and all of that. But yeah, they were pretty spectacular. I can't wait to see what you have on in Chicago. Yeah.
Yes, it was a very nice training. So
what did you teach, Alexandra, at night?
So we were presenting my OptiGlaze technique on 3D printed structure, like aesthetic approach. It was very nice. And also we covered a little bit of the digital workflows with a hands-on, I think, modelier on digital software.
So it was basically putting the pretty pink on the printed monolithic.
Yes.
Immediates, yeah. Barb, do you guys do a lot of those? Or
No, actually. But we ordered the OptiGlaze after the course, and we've been using that on temporaries and just different things. It was definitely a benefit, I'll tell you that. Love it.
An OptiGlaze. What is that, a light cure?
Yeah.
Yes, so basically OptiGlaze, it's like composite stains that are light cured. So you have variety of colors that you can mix and apply to the structure and then light cure it.
Hmm. Is there any issue of it coming off, or is it pretty embedded on there?
I think it's pretty good. I think it's very good. We use it for our temporaries, right? So it's just for a few months. But to be honest with you, sometimes because I had get the opportunity to see the patients, and sometimes it's a mystery for me. Like some of the patients, the stains will stay, but there are certain of the patients that, you know, on some spots it's going to come off, right? Mm-hmm. And it's probably due to health reasons also, and the mouth condition too. So I noticed that as well. But it's pretty good. You can get really nice aesthetic results, and it's really strong material. So I highly recommend it.
So back to Chicago LMT, you said you are going to be extremely busy doing a lot of lectures and courses and hands-on. Can you kind of give us a little snapshot on who you're speaking for and what you're speaking about?
I'm going to be doing courses and workshops for Stroman, mm-hmm. and also lecture for GC America. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have on Thursday two sessions with Stroman, each one an hour and a half. So we're going to have participants that are going to have opportunity to do the hands-on as well.
Nice.
So that's going to be on Thursday. And it's going to be aesthetic approach to 3D printed restorations with OptiGlaze. Same thing like what we did in Florida lecture.
Awesome.
And then on Friday, I'm going to have my lecture with GC. It's going to be an hour and a half as well. But on this one, we're going to go more into the whole process. So like full digital workflow. And usually when I do those type of lectures, I like to present the story of the patient. So I'm going to concentrate on one patient, and we're going to go from beginning towards the end. So it's going to be patient coming into the office. We're going to take pre-op records. We're going to pre-design it, go to a surgery, deliver immediate load, and then finalize the zirconia prosthesis.
Nice.
So that's going to be with GC. And right after the GC lecture, I'm going to have two demos on OptiGlaze and Stroman room on Friday. And then also on Saturday, I'm going to be twice at Stroman Room for also demonstration.
So you are going to be busy.
Yeah, I'm going to be busy.
Wow.
I'm going to be busy. Yes. So, but it's going to be great. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. So I'm looking forward to it.
I was just wondering, as busy as you are you up really late creating these lectures for Chicago? Or is it kind of like, as you go along, you just keep everything collected so that you know that that's material you can lecture on.
Well, I stay pretty long, so I would say I'm yeah. working quite a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't understand how you give different lectures in the same weekend and keep them all separate.
I don't understand too. I don't.
Anytime I've spoke at like lab day, it was just once, and that was hard. I couldn't imagine doing it multiple times with different topics and different locations for different companies. Jeez.
Yeah.
It takes a certain talent.
To be honest with you, I feel like I'm very lucky and I get all those opportunities. So to me, I try to stay positive and just grab it, right? It's going to be fun.
Yeah, go with the flow. So on your zirconia, you're using zircon Zahn?
So on the final zirconia, I'm using the material zirconia from Zircon Zahn, which is Prittau 2 dispersive.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And then I combine stains from GC, which is luster paste, mm-hmm. and porcelain from GC as well. And sometimes I integrate stains from Zircon Zahn as well.
Nice.
How hard is it to really match someone's tissue? I've always thought that would be one of the hardest things to do.
Yeah, this is the hardest thing for me to do. This is the hardest thing for me to do. So I will stay with teeth to create a monolithic. But the gingiva part, trust me, I tried all the stains and everything. And to be honest with you, right now, I layer every single case right now for my hybrids. And I layer the gingiva aspect.
Wow.
And then I apply stains on it.
Wow.
You can, to me, it's like you get that really nice depth of the gingiva. And you can match it very nicely when you layer. So I try to layer on every single patient.
Wow.
How much layering? Are we talking like multiple millimeters to get the depth? Or
No. It's like more like probably 0.3 millimeter or 0.5 millimeter the most. So really micro layering. But I get the technique.
Yeah.
Yes, I kind of created the technique that I would do like internal stains. Like I would stain mm-hmm. it first and then apply the porcelain. So it would give me that 3D effect, that depth, because I apply the stain underneath my layering surface.
How many full arches are you doing a day?
You know what? To be honest with you, in this practice, I feel like we go with waves. So
yeah.
We're going to have a week of surgeries. Then it's going to be like a few weeks later, we're going to have a week of like stage twos because all the patient healed. And then mm-hmm. we're going to have a week of zirconia. So there's going to be a bunch of cases. So I feel it's kind of goes with like a wave.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that sounds good. It sounds like it's staggered pretty nicely.
Last Saturday, we've had a type of a weekend with surgeries. So we did 3 surgeries on Saturday, and it was 2 double arches and 1 single.
Wow. Do you ever do non-full arch work? I mean, do you ever do just a tooth?
Oh, yeah, we do that. Single crowns. Yeah, single crowns. So there's 4 people in the laboratory and we do production cases like single units. And trust me, single units are as much important as full arch cases.
Yeah.
So all 4 of you are doing the work of one dentist, or do you take in work from other dentists?
We kind of try to stay with, trust me, Dr. John keeps us very busy, so.
Wow.
I bet he does.
He's got another office and 1 associate.
Wow. And you have somebody that you brought on as well, because you brought somebody with you that you're training, correct?
Yes. Like I said, there is 4 of us, maybe sometimes 5, you know how it is with dental technicians in the laboratory. But I came to Florida. Yes, they come and go.
Yeah.
So I came to Florida with Kaylin, and she's a manager in the laboratory. So I train her to help me with the surgery cases. So she's really talented, amazing technician. I mean, I have to, because if I'm doing a lot of courses and if I have different opportunities, then I need some help.
Yeah.
And actually, if she's coming with me to the courses, she's helping me a lot as well. So in preparation and getting ready. So, I mean, I have to have some help. So that's what I'm kind of trying to focus as well. Train people so they're going to help me too.
For sure.
How did you find her?
I basically stalk her. No, I'm just joking. You know, I was looking for employees, and then the funny story is that I think I found her resume somewhere on a website. Mm-hmm. And then she put the wrong number over there. So I was trying to call and I couldn't reach her. So I found her on her Facebook, on Instagram and everywhere. And I was trying to send her messages, but she wasn't my friend. So she wasn't accepting the messages.
Oh, no.
So finally I started dialing the number and I changed a few numbers and finally I called her. So after a few weeks, but I was trying constantly. So
it was meant to be.
It was meant to be.
That's a great story. That she was, mm-hmm. you're like, what the hell, lady? Yes, you didn't get your right number.
That's hilarious.
Yes, that's till this day. I'm like, man, you made me suffer. You made it hard for me.
I want to know about the people you called the wrong number. Did you just like, are you a dental technician?
Like, it's probably like a random number. So the number, like someone wouldn't like pick up the phone or something, or person would say, oh, you got the wrong number. So,
yeah.
But it was just few numbers, like few digits. And that's it. I was like, oh, this is not right.
That's hilarious.
So you're a key opinion leader for GC. Do you get some of the new stuff to try before they launch it and give them feedback on that? Material wise?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
So you've got secret stuff that they're going to launch in Chicago that you already know about, right?
I don't really know if I get like a really secret stuff, but they treat me, I have to admit, they treat me very well and they are a very big support. So I'm very thankful. And as well to Straumann. I feel like I'm very lucky because I have two big companies supporting me. Mm-hmm. So that collaboration between Straumann and GC as well, it's been very nice for me. So I'm very thankful.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a member of the DTG?
You know what? I'm not. I don't even know if I'm a member. I guess after I did my presentation, I am. Even if I'm not, then... Right now I am, so.
There you go. When did you learn about them?
I think it was a few years ago. And also then from GC, when the DTG was kind of really popular, when they started to growing,
mm-hmm.
I get opportunity to meet Van at one of the Chicago Lab Days meeting.
Yeah.
And then after that, one time, I think I went to Utah for the DTG symposium.
Very cool. Yeah, you went to an early one.
Mm-hmm. So I get to know them from the beginning, right? So
well, we were both, Elvis and I absolutely were amazed by the GC facility, but also the DTG and that whole group. That was one of my favorite places that we have gone and recorded, and we really, really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm.
I feel like GC facility is amazing, the educational center. So I'm really amazed as well. So I feel like the event was really nice, extremely nice. So
yeah,
great opportunity. And I'm very thankful that I got opportunity to do my presentation too.
So how booked are you for educational events? We're recording this about 2 weeks away from Chicago. I mean, are you booked the rest of the year?
I think I'm booked, I think, until like April right now.
Yeah. Anywhere exciting to get out of Indiana? Going to Chicago is not that interesting.
No, it is interesting. I like that too. So
yeah, I know, but it's only an hour from you. Anywhere exotic you get to go?
I think I'm going to New York, then Texas. And I think the women's conference might happen.
Oh, the Queens?
Yeah, the Queens of Industry, yes.
Yeah, very nice.
Oh, I think Sheila was saying that it might happen in Puerto Rico or something, but we will see how is this going to go. I didn't get the confirmation yet, but I hope the event is going to happen. It's going to be very nice.
Yeah, I'll take a trip to Puerto Rico. So what else is exciting for you? What else is new? What are you looking to get into? Anything on the horizon?
I think this year I'm going to just probably educate myself a little bit more. And Straumann is giving me the opportunity and sending me to a speaking development program for speakers.
Awesome.
So that's what I'm going to attend. We're going to have 4 courses. I'm looking forward to become even better speaker. So that's really exciting for me. So
that is cool.
Where's that at?
Texas. I think it's the DevRite group.
Wow.
So I get the opportunity to do that. So that's really, I'm really thankful and really excited about that. So
teaching the teachers. Yeah. You know? And then are you going to go to any of the other lab days like West or East or?
Yes. Yes. So last year I went with Straumann as well. So I did, I think 2 lectures. So we'll see this year if they send me. I'll definitely go. So yeah, Yeah, I go almost to every lab day. I feel like the one in California and Chicago.
Yeah.
Like every year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I find it very interesting that Straumann is so supportive of you. I mean, I think it's great, but do you even really care which implants are underneath your restorations?
You know what? I feel like it happened, the whole thing happened when Straumann became reseller for GC products.
I didn't realize that.
Yes. So Straumann reached out to GC asking for some KOLs.
Uh-huh.
Because Straumann, it's basically like giving the digital solutions, right, to laboratories mm-hmm. and to doctors. So they became reseller for GC Temprint and Optiglaze because they feel like the GC Temprint is one of the best resins. So they integrated it with their printer. So right now, lab technicians, and because of the printing strategies are so popular within dental industry, so that's why they're trying to give solutions for dental technicians. So that's why.
That's fantastic.
I get to be GC representative to Straumann and then to GC. So that's awesome.
Great. Yeah.
It's a nice synergy. Do you have the Straumann printer?
Yes, we do have it. Yes.
How is it? I've never seen it. I mean, is it a good printer? Obviously,
yes.
You're going to say yes.
I mean, I cannot say no.
Yeah.
No, it is very fast. It is very, very good printer, right?
Nice. And it integrates well into all the other things you use, like ExoCAD.
Yes.
Yeah, that's awesome. I bet you that makes your life a lot easier.
I'm excited for you. I cannot wait to see you in Chicago.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your support, Barb.
I don't think we're going to see her in Chicago.
Oh, you never know. You never know. You might see me. We might see each other in the big bar.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking yes.
Right?
You running from one course to the other. We'll see you run by. Well, Alexander, thank you so much. That's great. I had no idea that you had such an artistic background.
Thank you so much for great conversation.
Yeah.
And looking forward to see you guys in person very soon.
Very soon. A
couple weeks, I think. I don't know. Yeah.
I don't even know when. Like, it feels like it's going to be in a couple of days. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to come quick, and it's going to be great. Well, good luck to you on all your courses and your busy schedule. And thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for having me, and have a great rest of the day.
Do the same.
Huge thank you to Alexander for coming on our podcast. I definitely knew once I took her course at night that she was going to be an amazing guest for our podcast. She's an amazing speaker too. Her passion and ability to show others her technique is unique. And we know that lab day was 2 weeks ago, but if you get a chance to see her and take a course, I recommend that you do because you're going to learn a lot. Thanks again to everybody that stopped by to see us at the Ivoclar Ballroom. Of course, we're still sorting out our 20 recordings, but we sure have a lot of great episodes coming up from our adventures in Chicago, you guys. So stay tuned. Those were honestly some badass interviews.
Yeah, they're really good. Looking forward to releasing them. All right, everybody. That's all we got for you. And we will talk to you next week.
Have a great week.
Bye. Consider yourself lucky.
I do.
The views and opinions expressed on the Voices from the Bench podcast are those of the guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the host or Voices from the Bench, LLC.